This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now we're going to check out a pair of stories one of our own reporters has been following. First, we travel to the town of Clover in northern Wisconsin, where landowners are attempting to get started bottling and selling their own groundwater. That operation has hit a legal snag and drawn some criticism from several directions, with concern about the impact on Lake Superior water resources. Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based in Superior. Danny, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Can you give us a little bit of the basics about this proposed water bottling project not too far from Lake Superior?
Yeah, so Duluth resident Crystal Myshak and her father, Robert Glau, submitted a special land use permit to the county in Bayfield County so that they could harvest and sell water from an artesian well on land they own in the town of Clover, which everyone up here refers to as Herbster. And so then that water would be transported in tanker trucks for a bottling in a facility in Superior and then sold primarily across Wisconsin and Minnesota, but also online, if I'm not mistaken.
Now, we've talked for years on this show about the Great Lakes Compact, this rule about when you can take water from the certain region around the Great Lakes and move it outside that region. How does that play into this story, Danny?
Well, it may, I don't know if it, so the debate about the Great Lakes Compact has been that, you know, there's this loophole that some opponents have pointed towards, or they claim it's a loophole, because when the Great Lakes Compact was approved, it was signed by all Great Lakes governors and approved by Congress and President George Bush, and it bans new large-scale water diversions outside the Great Lakes Basin with limited exceptions for like communities or counties that straddle that basin line where they're kind of half in or half out. But the compact spelled out that water shipped out of the basin in bottles of 5.7 gallons or less were not considered a diversion. And so opponents to this project say that that's a loophole that this company is exploiting so that they can send massive amounts of water outside the region, or they fear that that is what could happen.
So what has the debate been like now, Danny, in the town of Herbster, or AKA Clover?
Okay. Well, so the debate has been, you know, basically among opponents that this could potentially threaten the sustainability of water resources in the area and tribal treaty rights. Tribes like the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa and Lakota Ray are staunchly against this idea, and other surrounding communities like the town of Clover or Herbster and you know, other communities are against this. And they argue that an environmental impact review hasn't been done, and they fear that the company Crystal Clear or Crystal KLR could end up selling to a bigger corporation or open the door for other companies to come into the region and tap their artesian well water, which is unlike traditional wells because it doesn't require pumping and it flows naturally to the surface.
What is going on now when it comes to approval or lack of same for this project?
Yeah, so the proposal by Crystal Myshak was rejected earlier this year by Bayfield County's Zoning Committee, and she appealed that ruling. And late last month, the county's appeals board basically upheld that earlier decision. And now the attorney for Crystal Clear and Crystal Myshak is basically saying that they plan to appeal that decision by the board in Bayfield County Circuit Court.
Now, I remember in the past there was a Perrier, not in that area, but a Perrier proposed bottling plant in Wisconsin. And that dispute ran for years and years. It was talk show fodder for us, for example, when I was a producer. Is there any sense of a timeline, Danny, on when this story is going to be resolved?
I don't know. I know that they were going to file, or that the attorney was planning to file their appeal in court as soon as that decision was entered, but I haven't seen anything filed yet. And yeah, I remember the proposal you're talking about. I think it was nixed in 2000 when they finally decided after a lot of opposition to head out.
Talking to WPR reporter Danielle Kading about a couple stories she's been following, turning from water now to wolves, Danny. Developments in the last few days and weeks that could impact the fall wolf hunt in Wisconsin. First of all, this just broke today. A related story on the Natural Resources Board, the chair of that board, and a suit from State Attorney General Josh Call. A lot to pack into this story. What's going on?
Yeah, so today, a Dane County judge rejected a lawsuit that was filed recently by Attorney General Josh Call that sought to remove the chair of the Natural Resources Board, Fred Prain, even though his term ended several months ago, and Prain was appointed to a 6-year term on the board by former Republican Governor Scott Walker in 2015, but his term expired in May. And his decision to remain on the board has basically denied conservationist Sandy Nass from taking her seat after Evers appointed her at the end of April. And Prain has argued that Wisconsin's Supreme Court ruling allows him to remain on the board until the Senate confirms Evers' appointees or nominees. And a Dane County judge agreed today dismissing Call's lawsuit, but the attorney general says he plans to appeal that. And in the meantime, the board's chair, Fred Prain, says he's pretty happy with today's ruling.
And he's relevant to wolves because this is a board that plays a big role in decisions about things like wolf hunts, right?
Right, exactly. You know, they set policy for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, including, you know, harvest regulations for the wolf hunt. And so, you know, they've been targeted specifically because right now they kind of hold a 4-3 majority as far as Republican appointees on that board. And basically opponents are saying that if Nass were able to take her seat, that they think that conservation and science would win out and they'd be able to see a different result related to like some of the quotas that have been set recently with the Natural Resources Board voting to set a quota of 300 wolves for the fall wolf hunt that's upcoming.
On a related note, Wisconsin Democratic lawmakers advanced a bill. They're the minority in both chambers, but they advanced a bill that would make the now mandatory wolf hunt in the state. That's required by law as long as wolves aren't endangered. They want to make that optional. What is this proposal?
Yeah, so a group of lawmakers led by Senator Tim Carpenter of Milwaukee and Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire are circulating this bill for sponsorship. And to the best of my knowledge, it hasn't been introduced yet. But what it would do, it would give the DNR more discretion over whether to hold a hunt, because right now it's mandated under state law and has been since 2012 when it was signed by Governor Walker. So this bill that would be put forth by Democratic lawmakers seeks to kind of change the wording so that the DNR could allow hunting and trapping of wolves, but it wouldn't require them to hold a hunt as it stands now. And so they argue that needs to happen because it would allow state wildlife regulators to make decisions based on science and sound wildlife management.
And then tribal groups from around the country, including here in Wisconsin, wrote to the Biden administration this week urging emergency protections for wolves. What were they calling for?
Yeah, well, dozens of tribes are asking for those protections because they argue that states are being too aggressive right now in hunting the animal. And so they sent a letter to Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, who is the first Native American to lead that agency. And that letter was signed by tribes, including the Oneida Nation of Wisconsin. And this is all taking place after the Biden administration backed the decision by the Trump administration to delist the wolf across most of the nation in January. But since then, we've seen states like Idaho and Montana take steps to allow hunting of up to 85 and 90% of their wolf populations. And recently this week, I believe the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has said that they may restore protections for wolves out west because of some of those more aggressive hunting policies. And in Wisconsin, we know that state licensed hunters killed 218 wolves in February's hunt, and they nearly doubled their quota. And so the fear is that if anything like that were to happen, like the February hunt, then the state could potentially lose half or more of its wolf population in a single year.
And then finally, Danny, there are several organizations, I understand, suing Wisconsin over the wolf hunt as it stands now. What are you watching for when it comes to the timing of this legal action, how it's going to impact a fall hunt and beyond?
Yeah, if I remember right, the most recent one was filed by wildlife advocacy groups like Friends of the Wisconsin Wolf and Wildlife and Project Coyote and others. And you know, they're saying that the state's wolf hunt is unconstitutional and they want to stop it. And these lawsuits can drag on, but they're hopeful that they'll be successful because the statutes spell out that there should only be a single wolf hunting and trapping season. And since hunters sued to force a hunt in February, this fall would be the second in a single year. So they hope they can win out on that note. But you know, whether that happens remains to be seen.
A lot to keep an eye on, Danny. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Rob.
Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based in Superior. We talked to her today about an ongoing dispute over a potential water bottling operation. near Lake Superior, as well as you just heard, several updates related to Wisconsin's fall wolf hunt and the chair of the Natural Resources Board, which plays a big role in those decisions.